And it's Tom Baker on Law and Gospel on this Thursday, February the 13th, in the year of our Lord, 2014. And I'm here to talk to Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Very good. And how are you doing?
We're in a heat wave right now.
Oh, up to 13 or 14?
20.
20. Oh, you don't even have to wear a jacket.
Just about.
Well, there's a real heat wave going on in the Methodist Church with a crisis over church law and gay marriage. And I was appreciating some of the items that you sent to me about that. How do you understand it?
Well, when I took a look at it, it's really coming out of their book of discipline. It's been going on, ongoing since about 1972. The Methodists had this book of discipline, and out of there is a whole bunch of various articles on how they treat things. And one of them in particular is on marriage, and it talks about marriage being the union of one man and one woman. And, of course, some of the Methodists, since about 2011, from some of the articles we were reading, we're talking about that it's time to get over it and not legislate anymore or have a policy on same gender marriages being incompatible with Christian teaching.
Yes, one of the items I was reading is that the Methodists kind of stand out because many of their fellow mainline Protestants have moved toward accepting gay relationships, and they mention the United Church of Christ, the Episcopal Church, parts of the Presbyterian Church, and then the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And, of course, we are not part of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. In fact, we adopted a resolution in a convention not long ago indicating that they are hardly Lutheran at all because they have left the teachings of the Holy Christian Church and the Bible. And, of course, not only are they pro-abortion, women ordination, but now they're also allowing gays and lesbians to be married and to become pastors.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when you talk about that they left behind the Christian doctrine. They've left behind the Bible. And as I read through the Methodist articles and that, the debate's over policy. It's not over what the Word of God has to say.
Yes. The fact is, though, the Methodist Church, particularly if you add in their African brethren, it doesn't look like they're going to adopt a pro-gay agenda very soon, because many of them do believe the Bible as it is written. And so these folks who are into gay marriage, they really believe that they have to be disobedient to their canon laws. And it goes to show you how far homosexuals will go against the Word of God. These are pastors who took a vow to follow the ordinance of the Methodist Church. And, of course, they just break the vow because they don't think it's biblical. And then they assume that they can stay in the Methodist Church.
Yeah, I would agree. I found that just absolutely outstanding or
astounding.
How do you stay in a fellowship of a church when you disagree with them on what's going on?
Now, how do we respond to this? The way we respond is to listen to the arguments of the pro-homosexual movement to see how they're arguing. Let me give one that I read. This was an individual in support of a gay marriage. He called the weddings an act of biblical obedience to the teaching that all people are created in God's image. Now, what is he saying there?
Yeah, well, you go back to Genesis 1 and it says, let us create them in our image.
Yes, and so what he's saying is that God is a homosexual.
Right.
I mean, that's the only thing you can say. And I would ask, okay, so you're not going to have any problem with child abusers because they also were created in God's image.
Right.
There's a total misunderstanding of original sin, and as though these people aren't sinners anymore.
Right, yeah. I was going to make that same comment, because it's all made in our image. Then you go to the creation of man and woman, but then you go to the fall of mankind into sin, and that all changed. At the end of that 6-7 day creation, God said it is good. And it was good. It was perfect. After that, sin enters in. Mm-hmm. Along with it, of course, is as we've taught from the scriptures, that homosexuality is a sin.
Yes. And it's very clear. Some people will say, well, you know, Jesus never spoke out against homosexuality, but all you have to do is read the book of Leviticus. And the reason I bring the Old Testament in is a lot of people don't realize that though there were many writers of the Bible, there was only one author, and that was God. And Jesus, therefore, being part of the Holy Trinity, working with the Holy Spirit, he inspired these writers to write down what they had to say. And never in the Bible is any kind of homosexuality permitted, ever.
Right. And they talk about, you know, an ordinance of love when it comes, you know, that the Bible speaks of love. And I went back and I took a look at that 1 Corinthians 6, you know, that came out of the, the Phil Robinson controversy?
Yes.
You know, it was interesting. It says, do not be deceived, neither fornicators, adulterers, idolaters, effeminate, homosexuals, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. So there was a whole laundry list.
Yes, and
but if you go to the next verse, Paul says, and some of you were that way.
Yes.
You were washed and you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, forgiveness is found through Jesus, who died upon the cross for us.
Anybody would like to phone on this subject, St. Louis area, 821-0850, or toll-free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. In my opinion, Wes, homosexuality is rising to the level of abortion in that it is not only creating division in churches, but also in the country and particularly in families. I don't think these people understand what the word love is. I give this example. I had a blind friend who didn't want to use a cane. He knew very well how to walk from the church where he was pastor to home. It wasn't that far a distance, only about 2 blocks. But one day, unbeknownst to him, the sewer people had dug a hole in the sidewalk. Yeah. And he actually fell in it and almost got killed because there was a stake at the bottom. But by God's grace, he missed it. And here's what I would be saying. There he is walking along the sidewalk, and I'm across the street, and I see that he's getting near the hole. But I don't yell to him because I love him and don't want to give him an embarrassment that he's blind. So I let him fall in the hole. Is that love?
It's a good illustration you're bringing up. You're letting him go into his own destruction.
And see, one of the things I learned this past week in listening to some people was the term homophobia. And we're often accused of being homophobic because of our distaste and our rejection of homosexual activity. But a phobia is really a fear that is irrational, like your child may not want to go to bed alone at night because he thinks there's a ghost in the room. That's an irrational fear. He has a phobia. But Christians do not have a phobia about homosexuality because God makes it very clear that those who remain in that lifestyle in unrepentance, that hell is their destination. So we have a real fear of these people going to hell, and we want to help them. And true love would mean that we would encourage them not to participate in this abomination from the point of view of Almighty God.
I would agree. And therein lies, I think, a lot of the arguments. It's homophobic. It's a policy that needs to be changed, but never do they sit down and talk about the love that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that it's these things are sin and separates us from God.
One pastor has already been tried, convicted, and defrocked. His name is Frank Schaefer, a Pennsylvania pastor who presided at the wedding of his son to another man. And there are some others now who are going to trial. The conservative Methodist movement, they have a publication. You know what they call it?
Yeah.
Good News.
Oh, really?
So we got to be sure. In fact, that's the third Good News publication I'm aware of. There's another Good News of a denomination. Then, of course, we have Good News that we like selling that Wallace Schultz edits. This is excellent publication. There's 40 of them out right now. But this Good News has been pressing church leaders to act when church law contained in, as you said, the Methodist Book of Discipline is violated. And they say when people choose to break the covenant that holds us together, there has to be some accountability. But because homosexuals are under the control of Satan, they're not interested in walking together. For them, sin takes precedence. And I like to share this kind of thing, and you're going to recognize right away where it's coming from. I was thinking about it on the way in today, that the devil is in the Garden of Eden. And there is a homosexual there and says, well, God told us not to be homosexual. And the devil, the snake, says, no. Did God really say that? He just doesn't want you to have the kind of freedom. And therefore, you can be like God. And therefore, the homosexual decides to have a homosexual relationship because the devil has tempted them against the very word of God. I don't see any difference between what homosexuals are being tempted by and what Eve was being tempted by.
I would most heartily agree with you. It sounds like a conversation I just recently had with somebody, because in Havana, one of the pastors has come out and said that they would marry gay people, and the rest of the churches in town have said no, you know. And but that very, very sort of thing that it's okay, you know, we got to be loving and caring, and then the rest of us have pretty much come out and said we are being loving and caring by talking about how it is a sin against God and how it is forgivable.
Yes, that's really critical. I'm going to read you a statement. I want you to tell me which side of the debate this comes from. It declares itself dedicated to a ministry of Christ-like hospitality and compassion to persons of all sexual orientations, and as committed to supporting certain basic human rights and civil liberties for all persons, regardless of sexual orientation. Now, if you were to guess which side of the debate, those against homosexuality or those for, which one would you have thought that came from?
I would have thought it came from the homosexual side of things.
Guess what?
It's the other side.
Yes. It's the position of the Methodist Church, and I would go so far to say it's also the position of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Oh, well, you know, yeah, what you just read came out of their Book of Discipline.
Yes. In other words, see, this is why lay people are really confused, because they say if we're dedicated to a ministry of Christ-like hospitality and compassion to persons of all sexual orientations, then wouldn't we allow them to do whatever they want? But if you look at Christ's life, he was dedicated to his disciples. He had great compassion towards them, but it didn't stop him from saying to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Or in taking a whip into the temple. You see, we're not against basic human rights and civil liberties for all persons, regardless of sexual orientation. We're simply against sinful behavior. And therefore, somebody once asked me, would you allow a homosexual to join your church? And my answer to them was, well, we allowed you to.
Yes, yes. And Sunday's gospel lesson coming up is Matthew 5, and really Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. He covers a variety of sins.
Yes.
But he's really talking about the ones that proceed, all of them proceed out of a sinful heart.
You see, we would allow anyone to join the church if they're repentant and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. There is forgiveness.
There is forgiveness. But when you have homosexuals who are going against their very vows they made to God in both marrying and ordaining other homosexuals, then this shows really the work of the devil in their hearts. Right. For example, if you disagreed with the position of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, let's say on women ordination, and you felt very strongly, would you remain as a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
Oh, absolutely not.
No, I would not either. I would try and attempt to get them to change, but once the handwriting is on the wall, now, of course, you and I do agree with the scripture that women ought not be ordained, and homosexuality is a sin, and abortion is a sin, and that's what's really dividing churches. But how these individuals think that they can take a vow, break the vow before Almighty God, and remain a member of the Methodist Church is beyond me.
It really almost bespeaks of an anarchy.
Well, that's what the devil did in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, it's very root of it. Anarchy, no rule at all. Rebellion.
Now, I've made this statement before also, but anybody can phone in on any of this. 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. And here's the statement that when you first hear it, it just sounds really odd. But you know me in statements. I love statements like this. That I have never met a homosexual who is not a child abuser. Now, people look at me and say, no, I know homosexuals, they don't abuse children, but they have to understand what I mean by abusing a child. Jesus has a statement about permitting the little children to come unto me, and then what does he say about those who offend children?
Be better that a millstone be hung around their head and they be thrown into the sea.
Excellent. Now, if I had a class of children and I was teaching them that there's nothing wrong with heroin, that it's a drug, and if you like to take it to make yourself feel better, that's fine, I'm sure I would be fired as a teacher because I'm offending these little ones. I have never met a homosexual who says it is a sin to tell children that homosexuality is a valid lifestyle. And this is what I mean by offending them. When you have homosexuals in positions of authority, and even as officials in the state or the president of the United States, a lot of people listen to them. And when they come out with such vile talk against Almighty God, this offends little children because they get tempted, and then at times they may even fall into that temptation. And anytime you tempt a child to do something that is contrary to the will of God, you're offending that little child. And God is going to hold you accountable.
Accountable. You know, you talk about, doesn't Peter Kurowski in his book on Duck Dynasty kind of go into that somewhat,
yes,
into death?
Yes, the Duck Dynasty book. And by the way, if anybody would like a copy of that for, I think we're selling it for $8, email us at lawgospel@lawgospel.com. That's lawgospel@lawgospel.com, and we'll be glad to send you a copy of the Duck Dynasty controversy on homosexuality. So the Methodists are in crisis, but when they mention other denominations like the Presbyterian, not all Presbyterians have okayed this. There's just as in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, there is the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America that no longer follows the Word of God, and then there's the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that does follow the Word of God. So you can't make a blanket statement and say that all mainline denominations are now for gay marriage or homosexual unions.
I would agree with you. Like the Diocese of the Episcopal Church up in Havana area has gone on record saying that they don't approve of gay marriages or doing same-sex marriages.
We need a little advice from you, Wes. Let's say you have a son or a daughter or a close relative immersed in the homosexual kind of relationship. How do you react to that? How do you respond to that?
I think in terms of love and care, you had about a year or so ago a pastor online, Eckstein, Pastor Eckstein.
Yes, Thomas Eckstein.
Yes, and he wrote this book on bearing one another's burdens. And I think that's a good starting point for a family that's dealing with that, is that you go in and you deal with Eckstein's book on bearing one another's burdens, which talks, you know, that you talk this out with the family like you would any other sin that they're caught into. And, you know, God's called it a sin. It is a sin, but you want to bring in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ into that. I've had some repentant, non-practicing homosexuals that I've ministered to over the years, and you know they're more than willing to carry out their lives in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and not act out on those tendencies that they've had.
We need to understand, this is a good point you're making, that all of us are tempted in some areas of life. I'm not tempted in homosexuality or drinking. I never have liked drinking or smoking or anything like that or drugs. But I'm often tempted when I drive a car. I don't understand why the speed limits are so low and this sort of thing. although recently I've discovered that when you drive below the speed limit, you get better gas mileage. So I may obey the law, but it's always out of self-interest because of a sinful human nature that I have. So every person has some kind of way in which they are tempted, and that's because of original sin. It doesn't mean that God made you in his image when you had that temptation. That's so ridiculous because
right.
We have fallen from the image of God.
Right. In fact, this weekend I'm tempted to talk about the JC syndrome and the JC solution based on the gospel.
Explain that.
The JC syndrome. Remember Jimmy Carter?
Oh, yeah.
And he came out and said that he committed adultery many times in his life.
Right.
And, of course, he was talking about how he had lusted, how
sure
he came out of there. And the solution, the JC solution, is Jesus Christ has come into the world, and as we repent, he forgives and gives to us that new life in him.
Yeah, that was very good when Jimmy Carter came out that way, because he was really following the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus says there's no distinction in spiritual punishment between a deed you do or a thought you say or think or a word you say.
Right.
That was one of his best moments, and it helped us to understand that all of us are sinners. We cannot point to homosexuals and say they're worse sinners than we are, because Jesus, if I had only done one sin of gossip, he still would have had to die on the cross for that one sin.
Well said.
The item that we're trying to get across to them is he did die for their sin. He does have the power to help you to stop from that sin. But the first thing you have to do is get across to people that it is a sin.
It's sin, and I think you've said it many times, especially when you've come up to Havana. One of the requirements to enter into the kingdom of heaven is that we are all poor, miserable sinners.
Yes, only sinners go to heaven. We last week talked about the creation-evolution debate between Nye and Ham. Are you aware of any homosexual debate that's going on between a pro-homosexual person and a biblical person? Because I'm not.
No, not, and neither am I.
I think that would be great to set up. Because as we saw with Ham, he really showed how far off the evolutionist is from God's holy word. And I don't think we'd have any problem, especially if they have ridiculous notions that since we're made in the image of God, then homosexuality is okay. That can be so easily Guess what?
That would be an interesting concept to debate, but you're probably right. That's exactly what would happen, is polar opposites.
So. All right. When are your services? Sunday.
Sunday, we're at 7:45 and 10:15. And 7:45, we're over W Duck up in the Savannah area on the FM dial.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Wes, for being on with me today. And tomorrow, Open Mic Friday, where you can continue to discuss this or any other theological subject on your mind. Till then, God bless.
Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.